everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John is engineering and producing the show. And together, a hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show. First Monday of April. It's April the 4th, 2022. We're in our 12th year here on the radio. We're broadcasting from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030. Tucson's voice for Trusted News Talk, the call letters KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening, and you can hear the program on the website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A big hearty thank you to all of our listeners who came out to the travel show at the Hilton El Conquistador. Ryan Hansen and myself putting on a presentation to kick off the show. About 1,500 people showed up for the travel show, Jeff Rogers and John Munger. Mm. Judging by that crowd, people are ready to get back to travel.
Oh, they're ready to travel. I know we are. We're taking two trips this year.
Yeah, I know. And I know you said you're doing some river trips, and that came up at the in our presentation, that the one of the trips I think you're doing, the domestic river trips, they're all sold out.
They're all sold out.
All sold out for this year, so people want to do that. The European ones are very popular too, but we had some listeners who came out especially to hear my presentation and to say hello, and I want to say thank you to these people who are pretty much devoted listeners to what we do here on the Buckmaster Show. It is our Monday political face-off. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is our title sponsor. Moe is the gold standard, I believe, for quality and professionalism, for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, hanging and lighting solutions. Come in and do your design session, or you can do it remotely, electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Our commentators today, Jeff Rogers, seated to my left, well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and John Munger, seated to my right, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, former Republican candidate for governor, and former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. Jeff, did you get out and do some horseback work this weekend?
Absolutely, yes. It's a beautiful weekend.
Just and you board the horses right by our wonderful sponsor, Green Things.
I do, and I see all the traffic going in and out of there when I go visit my
they
horses.
They are doing so well over there.
They are. It's booming business.
People want to get out and do that gardening. And John, the trips you've got planned on the river, one to Europe and then one domestically, those are the hottest tickets right now in the travel industry.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, that'd
what,
be great.
What do you like about it? Just you just have to unpack one.
Well, these river, the river trips. Yeah. Number one, you're not on a huge ship,
right?
I mean, there's usually 100 to 150 passengers, so you get to meet people and actually get to dine with them for a week. We like to go for a week. Mm-hmm. It's enough. And you have a room, you're unpacked, you stop every day. They have excursions, various ports.
So you can do as much or as little as you want.
As little as you want. And you can always, if you're tired, you can go back to your room and take a nap.
Yeah.
And the food's excellent. They have entertainment, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful deal. No lines.
Mm-mm.
It's just wonderful.
Jeff, do you have any plans to get away?
I don't think so. I'm going to focus on working on my house this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So probably some short trips here and there, but not really planning to do anything dramatic.
Jeff and John, I saw this article in the New York Times. Jeff and John, perhaps you also saw it. New Mexico became the first state in the country to offer tuition-free college to all residents. And believe it or not, guys, Arizona is included in this. And you may say, well, how could that be possible? Well, the Navajo Nation. Anyone that is a member of the Navajo Nation, even living in Arizona, will qualify for free higher education in the New Mexico system. And John, being a former head of the Board of Regents, I'm wondering, do you think anything like that could ever happen in Arizona?
Well, I don't know. You know, Arizona tuition for in-state people is so inexpensive comparably. Mm-hmm. It's $12,000 a year.
Yeah, something like that.
It's just not by any comparisons expensive college education.
To other state universities, right? I mean, I think it's one of the lower ones.
Oh, it's absolutely one of the lower ones, and way, way lower than most other mm-hmm. state universities. We also give away full ride scholarships to what we call Regents Scholars, people who earn, say, I think it's in the top 5% of their class in high mm-hmm. school, something like that. So we have free education, but the state is already heavily subsidizing the education. You know, free things are great, and God bless New Mexico. If they think they can give away free education, that's wonderful.
It is, of course, somebody does have to pay for it, Jeff. And New Mexico lawmakers said they will. This is a bipartisan deal. I think it's a $77 million a year price tag, but they feel, Jeff, this investment is worth it.
I think it's worth it, and I would love to see Arizona do that. There are a lot of people that get priced out of a higher education, and not everyone should go to college, but you know, there ought to be post high school educational opportunities that are more affordable in every area, and I would love to see Arizona do something like that. But we just have a reputation of not providing for not only K through 12 education, but not subsidizing our college education to the extent that many other states do. I hope this is a trend that we see emerge all across America. I don't envision it happening in Arizona anytime soon unless Democrats can prevail and win the legislative House and Senate and the governorship.
And be the majority.
Not going to get it done without Democrats being in the majority.
Respectfully, we heavily subsidize our college education already. I mean, college education costs more than $12,000 a year in terms of paying professors and paying for all the facilities that the students get. And so we heavily subsidize. We are one of the least expensive states in the country in terms of in-state college tuition, which is what we're talking about. And, you know, it's all fine to get free things. I'd like everything to be free. Wouldn't it be sweet? But somebody's got to pay for it. We are already one of the least expensive states in the country to go to college. And to say nothing of our community college educations, those are even less expensive.
All right. Well, I want to switch topics here and see if we can get this in before we take the Mona's break. Jeff, what about this new law in Arizona? The governor signed it requiring proof of citizenship to vote for president of the United States. This is going to be challenged, already is being challenged.
Well, legal advisor to the House and the legal advisor to the Senate both agreed that it's unconstitutional. Both agreed that, and they recommended against the Republicans passing both this bill. And so I don't understand why, you know, when it's facially invalid, why they feel the need to generate litigiousness and when it's unnecessary. But what there are some dangers in this bill. One of the main objectives of it is to basically say that people who use the federal registration form, where you don't have to submit identification to show your citizenship, you basically swear under the penalty of perjury that you're a citizen, and so you can be prosecuted if you're not a citizen and you register using that form. So that we've already lost a lawsuit passing similar legislation previously. In 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional, and the state later entered into a consent decree, I believe it was in 2018, where they agreed not to try to enforce that law. So, but there's one more dangerous provision in that, which I suspect will apply to every one of us sitting here at this table, and that is that there's a part in that bill that suggests that people who've never presented proof of their citizenship might have their registration canceled. Well, that would be me. I moved here in 1979, and there was no requirement that you prove your citizenship, and I registered to vote, and I have been continually registered the entire period of time without providing proof of citizenship, and I would be shocked to hear that either of you have ever provided proof of citizenship to register to vote, because you're probably in the same boat as me, having registered many years ago and then maintained that continual registration.
What was the cutoff year you said? You had to...
Until 1996, you did not have to provide proof of citizenship.
Okay.
And so when they passed that law requiring proof of citizenship, they grandfathered everybody who had already been registered to vote into to being exempt from that law. And so there's a dangerous provision in there that could lead to the cancellation of literally millions of votes. Or create enormous lines at places to register, because what if suddenly all three of our registrations were canceled and we had to provide proof? You know, I think I have it somewhere. I've got my birth certificate. I'm pretty sure it's in a filing cabinet.
I've got my passport.
Yeah, I'd have to dig that out. Or in my passport, I think it expired last year.
John, can you hold your thoughts on this? Because I do want to hear what you have to say, but it is the time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. And by the way, when I was at the travel show yesterday, some of the listeners came up and said, Bill, thank you so much for talking about Mona's Danish Bakery. We send so many of our listeners up there. Jeff, did you get up there this weekend?
I got up there last weekend, but not this weekend.
What did you order?
I just had a traditional breakfast.
I love the hash browns.
I love their hash browns. Mm-hmm. Now you have a choice between the hash browns or the potatoes.
Yes.
And I like the hash browns.
They do the chunky potatoes or the hash browns.
Yes, yeah. and you were raving about the bacon, so I had bacon with my eggs.
How was the bacon?
Bacon's delicious. They use a really thick slab of bacon there.
It's a thick cut.
Yes, it's just delicious. Everything there is good.
Well, the next time you're there, to go along with your breakfast, order a bear claw. We had a couple of bear claws this weekend, and they really age very well. You know, some pastries, you got to re-microwave them. I didn't have to do that even today. They're a day or so old. Perfect. John, what would you go for right now at Mona's?
Oh, geez.
You would like your coffee?
I like that quiche.
You'd like a quiche?
I like the quiche, and I like the, the treats there are just interminable.
Anything in the case.
My big problem is picking out one.
There you go.
I would like to eat three or four of them.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the Danish Kringle is always at the top. But I've tried
the signature piece.
Yeah, but I've tried all of them, and they're all wonderful.
All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. Open right now for lunch. Well, no, today's Monday. This is Steve. They take the team off. The team takes today off, and I don't blame them. They need a day off. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. Be right back with Jeff and John. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe. We love the team there. We love Corinne, his daughter. They do such a great job. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Great job with your, with anything you need, beautifully, professionally framed. They've got custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple in our home, and they're just beautiful. The website redesigned, looking great, moesgallery.com. Thank you, Mo, for your support. Jeff Rogers and John Munger with us. Jeff was talking before the break, John, about this new law in Arizona that the governor signed it last week, requiring proof of citizenship to vote for president. Despite these legal challenges, John Munger.
Well, frankly, mm-hmm. those are constitutional issues that are going to have to be litigated. And we're going to have to see how that comes out. I think the legislature is purposely trying to see what the law is on some of these issues. And so it will be litigated, and we will know the answer. I don't know what the Democrats have against security, making sure that people are qualified to vote. They seem to be just rabidly against it, which is why they're taking in all these. We've got an open border now with people coming in. Some of those people are going to try to vote. You know, we need the voting security. I don't know whether this particular law is going to hold up, but we need security so that your vote and my vote counts, and people who shouldn't be voting don't get to vote to offset our vote. Democrats just seem rabidly against any kind of security for voting. But we'll see how this law turns out. It's going to have to be litigated, and it's going to go to the Supreme Court, I would imagine.
Well, I think Arizona has probably some of the safest, most secure laws governing voting of any state. We're extremely efficient at counting the votes. Every year, Republicans howl about security, and ineligible people voting, and every year we find maybe five. I mean, it's really kind of ridiculous. It's a solution in search of a problem. There's the amount of people who illegally vote, and typically they're retirees who voted in Kansas and then voted in Arizona. I mean, those are the typically people we find. And occasionally you'll find somebody who registered to vote who hadn't had their rights restored yet, who had maybe a felony conviction and was eligible to get them restored but didn't. But that constitutes only a handful of voters every election cycle. So I don't see a problem here. You think we're focusing on the wrong thing. And the proof of citizenship for using the state registered forms has been upheld by the courts. And so most people who register to vote provide proof of citizenship. But this is a special federal form that we're talking about here that only allows you to vote for federal races. That would be House, Senate, and President. And that was passed by Congress many years ago, and it has been upheld, and the states have basically been ordered to allow those people to vote in federal elections, period.
John, these atrocities, John and Jeff, that are coming to light, men, women, and children, hands tied behind their back, shot in the back of the head, they're finding all of these gruesome scenes in Ukraine. You just can't imagine. I can't imagine. I hope the world can't imagine that Putin will ever be allowed back kind of on a world stage with any kind of respect.
Well, he's already been shut out of the G7, the G20. He's never going to be able to travel again because he'll get arrested if he travels again, I think.
I hope so.
And I think he's stuck in Russia. To me, this just shows how truly wonderful our troops are compared to some of the troops in the rest of the world. The Russians are conscripting and recruiting people of low moral character.
Going into the prison system and just taking people out of prison.
Yeah, these are not the quality of troops that the United States has. Yes, periodically an American soldier in every war is going to commit an atrocity, but it's not wholesale, and we hold them accountable to the best of our ability. So it's just not, their troops are not comparable to the fine soldiers we have, and Marines and airmen that represent the United States. Think of the wars that we've been in, and you just don't see that type of thing with American soldiers. The Russians are just operating as animals. I'm not saying every Russian is an animal, but they're certainly operating as animals. And we should use every means available to go after them.
And the command, I'm not sure Putin's, their command structure is basically broken down.
Well, their whole system, their military is broken down. They're so corrupt.
They're using cell phones to communicate with different troops. It's crazy.
They're in deep trouble. And I'm not sure Putin physically is going to survive this thing, but we'll see.
Jeff, good idea to open the oil reserves. One-third of our oil reserves will be put into use.
Yeah, million barrels
of oil.
I think it's a great idea. Anything we can do to limit what Biden is calling the Putin tax on our fuel is smart. And a lot of people don't realize this, but in Biden's first year, he approved more drilling on public lands than Trump did. We're upping the ante of our own oil production and gas production at the very same time we're releasing oil from the strategic preserve, and we're frankly going to be able to help our allies in Europe with some of this extra oil and gas. And so, and they're going to have to wean themselves off of relying upon Russian oil and natural gas because, Russia is going to be a pariah in the international community for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you wonder how they're going to handle it
in the
winter.
The problem is that the oil and gas reserve is there for emergencies. It's there for short-term emergencies. It's not there as a price-fixing mechanism to try and lower prices. And we are going to have the lowest oil and gas reserve since 1984 after this is done. And the effect on prices of this oil and gas over the next 6 months coming in from our strategic reserve is going to have a minimal effect on pricing.
You think it'd be negligible?
Negligible. Well, and the real answer, you know, the Democrats like to say, well, you've got all these leases out there. Yeah, but we don't have the permits. Half of the leases that are out there don't have permits, and the government is slow walking the permits to drill. So you have a lease, but you got to get a permit to drill. And you got to go through all the regulations. So having a lease isn't enough, and you've got to go through all the.
You got to pull the permit after the lease. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to comply with those. And the government is slow walking the permits. Half of the 9,000 leases that they've got out there still don't have permits, and it's the government is. You can't open up wells offshore. You can't open up wells any other place. Why don't we just open up our drilling, and we have more reserves than Saudi Arabia in this country.
Wow!
And as of a year and a half ago, when Trump was president, we were the largest producer of oil. Or the second in the world.
All right, John, gonna go. Jeff, final thought?
We were second to Russia. I think if you ask the average working family, do you feel like this is an emergency? They'd say yes. I mean, when it costs $100 a tank to fill up your gas tank, that's an emergency for most working class folks.
Gotta go. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presenting our Monday political face-off, Fort Lowell and Dodge, doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. John, thank you very much for coming in. Jeff, good to see you. Have a great week, guys.
And I did have my first $100 fill-up.
Oh, boy.
In my F-150 pickup truck.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our first Monday in April on Buckmaster in our Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things had a great weekend. Why wouldn't they? Look at the weather. Perfect time to visit Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and get your roses, do all your planting, get some beautiful things ready for spring. If you've got any questions, the knowledgeable staff at Green Things can handle whatever you can throw at them in the way of gardening questions. GreenThingsAZ.com, they're in their 51st year of business. They are open daily, and they have some beautiful merchandise from Latin America, Mexico, and Europe at Zocalo Village, that website, ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we do our border report with longtime border reporter, a guy who knows more about the border because he's across the border probably, I'd say 50% of the time each month, Keith Rosenblum. How are you, Keith?
Hello, Bill. And your estimate is actually is 49.2%. But once again, your lack of precision should worry your listenership.
Yes, there you go. Hey, Keith, there's this camp in the Tijuana area with migrants from Russia, Mexico, and other South and Central American areas. These are migrants who want to cross into the United States, and there's some Ukrainians there as well. The Biden administration has promised to accept up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees, but I'm not sure how all of that is going, but I'm hearing these stories about these Ukrainian refugees who are waiting there at the border, and they've been waiting for a while. So what's going on?
I'm not privy to that. I see what's fascinating to me is watching this homogenous country change little by little. So when I go through Nogales, Mexico, and I was in Agua Prieta a couple of weeks as well, it's just fascinating to see these very white faces and these very black faces, because you have a lot of the Haitians and some Jamaicans as well that worked their way through Mexico. And this was just unthinkable to those of us that traveled Mexico. Well, actually, Mexico has an indigenous black population, but it's off in the middle of, Guerrero State or Oaxaca, and you don't see many up at the border anyway. But these are black African faces and Haitian faces. It's stunning. As for the methodology that we're using to admit people, this is not merely Tijuana, but this is Juarez, Nogales, Agua Prieta, all along the border. My understanding is that it's simply a day-to-day thing, and that the port directors at each of the, 40 ports along the entire border, take their order from the Homeland Secretary, and he says, here's how many we're going to do at each place. And we have the ability to process quite quickly if we want to, and we have the ability to do things in a much more measured fashion if we want to. I'm not up on where we stand in specifically with the Ukrainians, but I will say that through the years, coming through the ports, you see these, and sometimes it's the Central Americans as well. You see the indigenous peoples of Guatemala or Honduras, and you almost get to know the Spanish from the language that they're speaking. Mexico's done on a 1 to 10 scale. They're somewhere in the 4 area as a government in terms of accommodating people as they go through the questioning process, the filtering or screening process that we have for them. But you also have a lot of nonprofits, both in Mexico as well as in the U.S., that help out. And in Nogales, Sonora, it's the same thing over on, I'm trying to remember the name of it, the Kino something institute that's right there at Mariposa Road in Periférico in Nogales, Mexico. Bottom line, I don't know how that's going when it comes to the Ukrainians.
Do you know this question about is Mexico accepting Ukrainians who would like to stay in Mexico? Are you hearing anything about that?
President Lopez Obrador has said yes, and I don't know what duration he has said. He said it to both. That is, to Russians, anybody, he said, who's a refugee, and that includes Russians as well, is welcome in Mexico. I don't know the kinds of visas that the country is giving now. Generally, and I have some experience because I've known people who have been seeking asylum in Mexico for both political as well as economic reasons. They keep, they don't ankle bracelet people, but they do have them. They do know where they go, and they require that if they're in Mexico City, for example, that they sign in weekly. I've known Iranians others who have been Haitians who have gone through that process, and they keep tabs on them. And my understanding is that it's done in, as our visas are, if you go to Mexico, you get a 6-month visa, presumably, when you go for tourist purposes. And I believe that's it. Most of the Americans who are not residents of Mexico also have a 6-month cap. And then they either have to go back to the border or just return to the U.S. for a day and then go ahead and take out their another tourist permit. You can go for longer, but then you have to jump through hoops and you actually have to make yourself a resident of Mexico, which is not a, it's not hard, but it's an ordeal. In other words, it takes lots of paperwork. And I would guess that, let's say there's 100,000 Americans who are living in Mexico today, and I'm not sure if that's accurate, but my guess is that less than half are actually residents. The other half come back up to the border or come to the U.S. or just stay down there illegally.
Mexico will send people, migrants, back, though. They will send people back to their home country, or no?
They sure do. And it's a... we financed it for a period, actually. We worked with the Mexican government to, before they had fortified the border at Chiapas State, you know, in the south of Mexico, which borders with Guatemala and also Belize, that border for a long time was what we consider ours to be a sieve. So people could come across the river there, or they would come in at night on land and could easily make Mexico City the next day. The Guardia Nacional, and this is during the Trump administration, we basically told Presidents Peña Nieto and then López Obrador, you need to do some of our bidding for us, please. So in exchange for, you know, in the political, what's it called, the horse-swapping world, whatever that term is, we told Mexico, reallocate people from your Guardia Nacional, from your National Guard, and put them at the southern border, and start turning away people the way that we have. We were tired of people getting to our northern border, so we basically pushed the Mexicans to fortify their southern border. There's still plenty of people who come in by air. You know, Mexico has daily connections to Rio, São Paulo, to places throughout the Caribbean, as well as with Europe. And so someone who wants to be a visa overstay or just use Mexico as a back door to come to the U.S. can do that anyway. But insofar as the big numbers, which are the ground numbers, Mexico now, I don't know what the last odds are. In the U.S., if you look at the U.S.-Mexican border, I think we say that for a long time, the likelihood of a Mexican being apprehended was 1 in 6, just odds. And then we fortified, we increased the numbers of hires in Border Patrol, came up with the wall, did lots of things. So now it was, we knocked it down, I think, to 1 and 2.4, something like that.
Wow.
And it's interesting. And then that's why a lot of the statistics that you read along the border are deceiving, because it'll be the same person. they're not unique entries. They're the same person as Keith, you know, who was caught three times. I counted as three in the statistics. And, of course, finally we made it a felony. If for the longest time it was just a voluntary return, or there would be some other kind of very minor, like misdemeanor consequence, then I think we made entering after you've been banned from the U.S., we turned it into a felony. So we actually now, we're put in the kind of the funny position or ironic position of having felons and in people in federal prison in the U.S. whose crime was reentering the U.S. illegally. It was really... That's the extent of their criminal activity, and we're paying whatever we pay, $70,000 a year, $80,000 a year to house a federal prisoner for that reason. For the longest time, all we did was just say, get out of here, you know, and go back in here. We're going to fingerprint you, and you're not going to be eligible for legal entry for 10 years. That's the way we did it previously.
All right, Keith, stick around. There's more with the our monthly border report. Want to talk with Keith about tourism. I was at the tourism showcase, beautiful event put on by Bon Voyage Travel yesterday. 1,500 people showed up. Obviously, people are ready, Keith, to travel again. I was one of the presenters, and I'll talk a little bit about that, and I want to hear about how Mexico is doing with tourism after we take a break. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Lots to do, including a visit to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can find out more about where to stay, and there's some great places to stay in the area, and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org as you start your planning for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, Mexico's tourism industry is booming despite the pandemic. The country is the number one destination for tourists from the United States and now is receiving actually record levels of visitors, better than before the pandemic. Let's bring back in now Keith Rosenblum, our border reporter, for as we continue with our monthly border report. Keith, I was at the travel show, as I mentioned before the break, put on by Bon Voyage Travel. A lot of people want to go to Mexico, Keith.
That's fascinating to me, and I wish I'd been. You'll have to tell me more off radio. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this. I can tell you Mexico has a brand new airport. It's called Felipe Angeles, and it is now Mexico City Airport 2. Previously, when you go to Expedia or anywhere online, you just had to choose from Mexico City, right?
Right.
Well, guess what? Now you get to choose from Mexico City Benito Juarez, which is the large, that's the historical airport with two very large terminals. And now you'll have Felipe Angeles, which inaugurated service last week on the 21st. President Lopez Obrador was there. This is one of his keystone projects, and it was done in record time, largely by the Mexican military. And it's to the north of the city and is actually it has three very long landing strips. The first international service is actually going to be from Venezuela, of all places.
Really?
And there's now a number of domestic flights from, I think, Jalisco and from. And so it's just fledgling. It's just getting off the ground. But what Mexico is going to do to bring in, Benito Juarez is saturated. And so they're not going to allow any more flights to go in. And they're going to try to do what they can to convert traffic to Felipe Angeles. Well, part of the issue is that it's a long shot from Mexico City. It's about, as I understand it, it's about an hour from Mexico City versus Benito Juarez, which is like San Diego or L.A. It's in the city.
Yeah, it's an in-town airport.
Yeah, and so this will involve a lot more travel.
Yeah.
But the new airport, number one, they're lowering the user fees. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to bring in Delta. President Lopez Obrador met with the president of Delta Airlines, or the CEO. He's been meeting with all the domestic airlines, and they're going to try to give people a break on the airlines a break, rather, on going into the capital. So there's that, and then Cancun is saturated. So now there's a new airport being built at Tulum, which is an hour from Cancun. Mexico is, I've been to the center of the country and also the north, and it is a bargain, and it is safe in spite of what you read. If you go planning to commit crimes, you probably won't be as safe for you. The numbers of people that are going down, it'd be like being able to take a vacation anywhere in the U.S., but figure it's going to cost you a third for your entire vacation. Why would you not go to Mexico when you got 7,000 miles of coast as well? So it doesn't surprise me that you detected that hunger. And, for those of us that go to Mexico, we live it all the time.
I did not hear about, I'm really, the reason I do this program is to learn something every day. And I did not know about the new airport, about an hour north of Mexico City. And I did not know, I've been to Tulum, which is a beautiful area south of Cancun. I did not know they were built. Is that will be, I assume, an international, they'll take, international airport. Wow.
That's right. And also, I mean, this is only the half of it. If you listen again, if you were like me and had no life and listened 2 hours every day to the President of Mexico blather on, you would know also that you'll be wanting to make plans soon for the Tren Maya, the Mayan train, which goes a 1,500-mile loop through the Mayan areas and is signature project number 2 behind the airport of President Lopez Obrador. And it's a big deal. And it's an electric train. I'm pretty sure it's can't remember if it's a Chinese train or a Spanish train, but they're already doing the trials. It's met with some controversy because the Mexican government itself has pushed aside some of the environmental requirements that it itself imposes on people, but has decided to blow off on its own in the interest of having this be expedited. Mm. President López Obrador, to make sure that he's not held to the same accounting that the Mexican private sector or that you would be held to if you went to open a business, declared that all government projects henceforth will be of national security, which if that rings a bell, that's exactly what we did with our border wall. We declared that whatever the environmental group said was kind of cute, but it was irrelevant because guess what? It's a matter of national security. So therefore, who cares about wildlife corridors? Who cares about artifacts, that type of thing? And that's what President López Obrador did as well, so that he can finish the project before he goes out of office, which is like 2.5 years from now. Incidentally, this is very important for you to know, too. On April 10th, Mexico holds what they're calling the revocation of the mandate, which is to say the Mexicans go to the polls to decide if they want 3 more years of President López Obrador. Now it's less than that, but essentially 3 years, or whether they'd like to tell him to go home. It's not in the Constitution. He pushed it on the people of Mexico as a way to fortify his own presence. He's going to win. The question is by what margin, and people who are cynical, not unlike myself, know that actually the technique here is to make sure that he can say, look, the people love me. I need to stay in office longer.
Wow. Let me ask you one more question about that airport, this new airport. It's very intriguing, and I'm sure my friends at Tucson International Airport are probably talking to Mexico people about getting a nonstop flight into that new airport. Is there high-speed train or is there high-speed any kind of plans, Keith Rosenblum, for quick train service or some kind of...
Yes, there is.
Into Mexico City from the airport.
Yes, there is. That is a part of the integral. And by the way, they've spent, and from everything I've read, it is a gorgeous facility. They've put in a museum as well. Mm. The thing is state of the art. It's already booked. Strangely enough, it's already booked from a cargo standpoint. How's that?
Yeah.
And so the military, which uses it's called the Santa Lucia base, they already use it as there's a military wing of it. And then the civilian parts, I think the landing strips are something like 2.5 miles long. There's two of them in addition to the military one. There will be the high speed train. It's not there yet, and it won't be during President López Obrador administration. But it is, and by the way, it's not approved yet by Homeland Security for international flights. That's why Venezuela is the first country with international flights, because we're not allowing people to be using it yet. Homeland Security hasn't yet certified it as meeting the standards for an international airport.
Hmm. All right. So there are the plans, though, to move people quickly, tourists, into Mexico City from that airport.
Yes, there is, because that's too long of a wait. And now, but this is basically the same thing as London, Paris,
sure.
Moscow. Hmm. It's cities that were the original airports are saturated. It was time to do something, and they couldn't do anything more with the existing infrastructure, so they went ahead and added on. And this one. Look for it to be certified in the next 6 months or so for international flights. And at that point, because they've lowered the user fees, you'll start to see probably charters first and then regular service from the states.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure to check in with you. And we'll talk to you next month, if not before. Keith, thanks.
Got it. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Keith Rosenblum with our Mexico report. Always a pleasure to welcome Keith, learning some new things about two new international airports, one north of Mexico City, and wow, that Cancun area has just been booming. So now they got another international airport about an hour south of Cancun in a place called Tulum, which is an absolutely beautiful place right on the Caribbean Sea. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about money. Tomorrow we'll have the former Arizona School Superintendent Lisa Graham Keegan will join us. Of course, Shelley Fishman with our financial report, Margaret Regan, who will have from the Tucson Weekly, the Arts Report, and then Terry Bracey, who checks in with us once a month from Washington, D.C. On behalf of John on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.